This is Out of School, a podcast at the intersection of technology and education. My name is Fraser Spears, and I'm joined as always by Bradley Chambers. Tonight we have our one sponsor for the show, and that's our good friends at Jamf Software, makers of Jamf Pro and Jamf Now management solutions for iPad, iPhone, Apple TV, and Macs. We'll tell you more about them during the show. Bradley, how you doing?
Great. Speaking of Jamf, that Jamf 10 is hot. That looks really, really nice. We need to talk about that more in depth in a future show, but it does look great. Yeah, things are great. Almost Thanksgiving here in the U.S., so yeah, it'll be fun. We get off the whole week, so that's really, really nice. It comes at a good time. A lot of schools around here either do a full week at fall break and a partial week at Thanksgiving, and we do the partial fall break and the full at Thanksgiving, and I'm really excited about it.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
We're basically done Christmas shopping already. A lot of it's even wrapped. A lot of the kids' stuff from, you know, quote-unquote Santa is already put together. I'm really ahead of the game here.
Wow. Kill. Very organized. Extremely impressed with that.
Yes. Amazon and Target for the win. It's really nice. We did this, started this last year, and it makes the Christmas season really more relaxed when you're not focused on, like, kind of corralling the kids' presents and stuff like that. It's really nice. Yeah. Since we've last talked, I have upended like half of my technology stack.
Okay.
First thing we got was iPhone 10. We had not talked about it, and I somehow got it on day one despite not ordering it until like at 11 a.m. the next day.
Wow.
I tried to order it at 3 a.m., but then I tried to, I guess is the word, and I thought I did, but the lady on the phone at T-Mobile clearly didn't put it in right, and yeah. So I did technically call back and order it the next day. Day one delivery, I don't know how that happened, but we'll take it. So far, like size, really fantastic. It is, I held a plus today, and it felt huge.
Yeah.
So far, it's the best of both worlds of the plus and the regular. So you do get the incredible camera, but you do get the, like the smaller form. The screen's the same size, but just like the hand grip holdability, slightly narrower, but overall great. Camera is great. I don't know that I would say it's like a revolution. If you have like a 7 Plus, it obviously looks great. The front-facing camera is really fantastic, much better than the 7 Plus. But again, the rear one is not, I don't, it's not that much better. I mean, so much in photography is lighting, and if you had incredible lighting on a 7 Plus, it was a great shot.
Yeah, you know, outdoors on a sunny day, everything, every camera is great, you know.
I love looking at photos that were taken with like an iPhone 4. I mean, if you really just think about the revolution in cameras over the last like 5 years in mobile photography, it's quite amazing.
Yeah, yeah. How's Face ID working out?
You know, I like it and I don't. I mean, it is definitely you get used to not having a home button very, very quickly. But I still notice, like, there are times it is not, for whatever reason, doesn't work. And it's not even like, you know, like, if I pick up my phone up right now, let me just do a little on-the-show test. I'm going to swipe up. It worked. But there are times, like, when I feel like it should work, then it just doesn't. And I don't know why. And I've heard that it is learning as you go along. It's like, you know, if it... your face is above a certain threshold match, and then you immediately enter the passcode, like it kind of rescans you a little bit. Okay. So, again, I mean, it's certainly like more of the future versus Touch ID. The app integration is really, really nice. Like, you know, the apps that support a Touch ID just naturally support Face ID. And then, you know, something I didn't think about, I was listening to Accidental Tech Podcast, and they're talking about someone that wrote in that's like an electrician and constantly kind of has burns and things like that on their hands, and Touch ID never worked. And it's like, oh, that actually makes a great point.
Yeah, yeah. My wife was in the same situation as that. She had, when she had an iPhone 6, the first generation Touch ID sensor, she could never get it to work because from cooking in the kitchen, her thumbs had seen enough scars and things on them that she was never very happy with that. The iPhone 7 massively improved that with the second generation Touch ID for her, and now it works fine for her, but the first generation didn't work at all for her either.
Yeah, I would say like it's as good as Touch ID 1.0, but it's not as fast as, it's like it's not as reliable as Touch ID 2.0, but I have no doubt that it'll get there. And again, the fact that it works nearly as good, it to me is amazing. So yeah, it's fantastic overall. It's the future. Great phone overall. I really have no complaints. I really, really, really do like the phone. very, very fast. Again, I'm coming from a 7 Plus, so the biggest thing I notice is it's smaller. And but if you're like someone that has a 7 or 7 Plus and you're on the fence, you're probably fine with what you got, unless you have an upgrade program. But if you're coming from like a 6S or a 6, obviously like it's a really nice device. I haven't tried any Qi chargers yet. I'm not really that's not really interesting to me. It just seems like another thing to buy for charging at half the speed.
Yeah, the only thing that's interesting to me about that is travel. When Apple introduces that Air Power mat where you can charge your AirPods and your watch and your phone all in one pad, taking that traveling with me, I think, would be very interesting instead of taking, a rat's nest full of cables. But I take your point. And it's also not very fast charging compared to, charging from a wall adapter. So it's good for overnight, but maybe not for a boost up as well.
Well, I think the hope for me with Qi charging or wireless charging is like the hotel would already have it built in.
Yeah.
It would just already be there. And that's, I'm not saying I'm not going to buy one. I doubt I'll buy the power mat because I'm sure it'll be like $200.
yeah, you bet.
And
plus a new case for your AirPods as well.
Right. Yeah. And I don't think my watch will even support it because I have the Sport Loop. And it won't lay flat. But again, it's like if it's one of those things, like when I see it at a coffee shop, I'll use it, but I don't know necessarily like I'll keep it at my desk. So.
Okay.
I did pick up a LTE Apple Watch since we last talked.
Okay.
On a whim, I've got some reviews coming up that I need to write on some apps related to fitness, and so I needed a watch. So I went all in on the Nike LTE watch and Series 3, obviously.
Yeah.
But so you, what do you have, a Series 2 or a
Series 3? I've got the Series 3 non-LTE.
So I've never been one of those people that swore to have like an LTE iPad. Like I was always fine with just Wi-Fi only. I am one of those people that will swear by the LTE watch now. To me, it is. I remember, like, I didn't have like an iPhone until like I think it was like iPhone 3, almost like before the 3GS came out. I got a 3G maybe like in January before the 3GS came out that summer or something. And I remember I had an iPod Touch up until that point, and I remember just like how great it was to always have that connection. And for me, being able to have that on a watch has honestly kind of been, I wouldn't say life-changing, but it's life-altering. And so the biggest thing, like when I run, and I run quite a bit, I don't take my phone anymore. And I've always taken my phone, even when I had a Series 2 watch.
Yeah.
I just always want to be able to be reachable. So you ask why? Well, number one, I often run at lunch during the week. So for work purposes, I need to be available in case something came up. Number two, like if I go out on a lot of long runs on, Saturdays and Sundays and early in the morning, I want to be able to be reached by my wife in case something came up.
Yeah.
And so I always took my phone with me. I had a nice little runner's pouch, and it's not a fanny pack. I had a had a runner's pouch that I used. Since I've gotten the LTE Apple Watch, I have not taken my phone on a run, number one. Then number two, if I'm going somewhere for I'll say less than 5 hours, I don't even take my phone anymore.
Wow.
Unless it's a place I know I want to take photos. Mm-hmm. So church, for example, do not take my phone anymore.
Okay.
Grocery store, no phone. Obviously, any errands I run to the gas station, don't take my phone anymore. I had to run over to work one night last week to run something. I forgot to move something. I had to come back over here and move it.
Okay.
And just took my watch. And because I didn't have my iPhone with me and Apple Music, I listened to the local ESPN radio affiliate. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about something I was interested in. So I literally called in from my watch and talked to them on the radio from my watch. And they
Just using the microphone on the watch, or were you using AirPods?
Just using the microphone on the watch, no AirPods.
Okay.
Yeah, so, they had no idea.
The microphone seemed to be hugely better. I mean, I don't know if you've used it much, but Siri on the Series 3 Apple Watch is the best Siri there has ever been on any device. It's better than it says on the iPhone for me.
I would absolutely agree with that. And the freedom of, and again, I know this is like a total just 2017 problem, but the freedom of being able to go somewhere and just have my wallet in my pocket and my keys is great. Like, I feel free in a way.
It's interesting.
And again, there are plenty of places like I would. It's like, I don't know. I mean, it would be nice to be able to look something up, but I just don't. Mm-hmm. I do get my emails and text messages and phone calls. And honestly, 99.99% of the time, that's all I need.
Yeah.
And am I going to work with it? No. But when I go to lunch at work, I just take my watch. Like I went to lunch yesterday with some people here, literally just took my watch. I just get up and go. My phone stays on my desk 99% of the day.
And that's where your wireless charging might become a thing. You know, if you are genuinely sort of sitting your phone on the desk for most of the day, just sit it on a charging pad, you know, and it'll sit there and trickle.
I don't know. It's worth the money, and it's worth the $10 a month just to have that freedom.
It sounds really to me, Bradley, like the same kind of feeling you get with AirPods or that you would get with Apple Pay, right? Now, I know Apple Pay is perhaps better developed in the UK than it is in the US, but I mean, here, I no longer carry a wallet, for example. I've got a case on my phone that has two card slots in the back, and one is my driving license, and I have one bank card, but I never pull it out unless I'm, you know, in the Highlands or something, because everything is contactless and everything. And paying with your watch now just feels kind of normal. So it's I get the feeling, but it's not something that I'm particularly interested in because I'm not really a runner as such. But I think I get the sense that you're talking about for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I could even see. I really think this, like the cellular Apple Watch, well, again, 3-4 years from now, battery life is incredible on it, for example. Because obviously, like when you're on LTE only, it's certainly a battery drain. Mm-hmm. They can get it where the LTE can last for, say, 15 hours. This could be the cell phone you give to your kids, like first cell phone for your kids. I remember when 4 or 5 years ago, when our students started getting iPhones, we all thought that was kind of crazy. But now it's just the norm.
Yeah.
And I could really see, like, for my kids, like when they're, you know, 3 or 4 years from now, if the oldest was getting a cell phone, I could see it being an Apple Watch because it does accomplish. I can track him. He can call us. I can call him. He can send text messages. I can send text messages to him.
Yep.
It's kind of all I need.
Yeah, I can totally see that day coming, and not very far away either. I think it's you're absolutely right on that point. And I think, you know, imagine like a kid's version of the Apple Watch as well, you know, maybe even a bit smaller, a bit lighter, more fun styled, perhaps. I'm not sure, but yeah, no, that world definitely seems like it's coming for sure.
You ask yourself the question, is 10 years from now, is the watch your central device, like the phone is your central device now?
Well, I suppose there are two questions to that. One is, well, three, I suppose, storage, battery life, and performance. I kind of still see the phone as being like something that every adult has, but I can see the watch being, you know, like the spirit of the phone, if you like. Do you know what I mean? It's got the absolute core things that the phone needs to have as well. You said text messages, phone calls, and email and things like that. And if other messaging platforms get on there, like Facebook Messenger and WhatsApp and so on, all get on the watch and become autonomous, a podcast client that works on the watch, you know, you can see it. You know, what's my bare minimum set of things? Like maybe you've got Maps there already. I mean, that's Maps with Siri on the Series 3 Apple Watch is super powerful. You know, you can just say, you know, and navigate home or whatever, and it'll do it for you right on the wrist.
So, yeah, I'm just, you know, thinking about the future. And so if you were on the fence, and if you're kind of someone that does get tired of carrying your phone around a lot, I don't know, be interesting. Be interesting to see. Yeah. Yeah, battery life is like I had a half marathon this past weekend. I didn't stream music. I had music synced, and I ran for the majority. So it was off the charger from like 5:30 a.m. until I finished the race about maybe 9:20, and LTE was on for most of the race. I had a couple spots to run new. I wouldn't have service, so I just flipped the LTE off during the run, and I finished the run with like, I think, 49% left. So it was pretty good. Again, LTE and streaming music will certainly, if you do stream from Apple Music, it will certainly drain the battery. But in those situations, I just went home, threw it on the charger for like an hour and a half, and it was back up to 100% and good to go for the rest of the day. But like when Lee and I went to dinner, I just leave my phone at home.
Interesting. We're very future-orientated tonight, aren't we?
Very, very much so. So, speaking of that, our main topic for tonight is augmented reality, or AR for short. And this is So this is not like an Apple-specific term, but this is more of an industry term. But it's kind of important to us because it's now built into iOS with iOS 11. And it works on the iPhone 6S or later. And then all of the iPad Pro models, and then the iPad 5th generation. So iPad-wise, it doesn't support a lot of old iPads. Mm-hmm. It's like our school can't use it just yet. But I think that's fine, and we'll explain why.
Yeah.
But again, it's like if you have an iPad Air 2, doesn't work. So Apple enabled this for developers with something called ARKit. It's a framework that allows you to easily create augmented reality experiences for iPhone and iPad. You basically blend digital objects information with your actual environment around you. So good example, the one I always use is like IKEA has an app called IKEA Place, and you can place like furniture in your room and relocate it, and you can see how it would look. And like from a simplistic perspective, that's what AR is. And I think that's a pretty easy way to kind of visualize it.
Yeah. I mean, the way that AR is right now, it sort of reminds me of the way that location-based computing was very, early in the days of the iPhone, where when people talked about location and your cell phone, the only thing Andy could think of to talk about was you're walking past a Starbucks and the phone knows you're walking past a Starbucks and you get offered a coupon to go into the Starbucks, right? And that was like the standard thing that people said about location-based computing was that you were going to get coupons. And nobody imagined Uber was coming, and the things that we can do with location now, nobody guessed that TomTom was going to get completely disrupted by free apps built into every smartphone. So it's interesting to see what's the Uber of AR, and I don't know that we know it yet.
No, I agree. And there's a part of me that thinks it's gimmicky. I mean, it reminds me very much like early watch apps, mm-hmm. how everybody's doing it, but no one understands what it's for. So they're just, it's like spitball, yeah. It's like shotgun, like machine gun app development.
Yeah.
You're just doing everything and seeing what sticks.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple other things about how this works technically. So the iPhone X has a true depth camera, so like the app can detect position, topology, and expressions of the user's face, all with very good accuracy in real time. So again, I'm trying to think of a good example.
Your Animoji karaoke is the thing.
Yeah, the Animoji karaoke.
Yeah.
Another part of it is visual inertial odometry, mm-hmm. is a way to accurately track the world around it. So VIO fuses with the camera sensor data with core motion data. These two inputs allow the device to sense how it moves within a room with a pretty high degree of accuracy without having to kind of calibrate it.
So this is the capability that lets you, or lets an app play something on a surface, and as you move the phone around, the device or the thing that's on the screen appears to stay in the same place relative to all the other things in the room, isn't it?
Yes. Next part, scene understanding and lighting estimation. iOS can analyze the scene presented by the camera and find horizontal planes in the room. So ARKit can detect horizontal planes like tables and floors, and can track and place objects on smaller feature points as well. So again, this is like how you place like a lamp on an end table, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the thing to note is that it only works for horizontal surfaces. So it can't detect a wall, for example, and put a picture on your wall just yet.
And I'm sure that's something that will come.
No doubt.
So an ARKit runs on A9, A10, and A11 processors. So that's why it's not working on the older iPads.
Mm-hmm.
These are, and again, this goes back to show why Apple started making their own chips. These processors deliver great performance that enables fast scene understanding and lets you build detailed and compelling virtual content on top of real-world scenes. You can take advantage of these optimizations for ARKit and Metal, SceneKit, and third-party tools like Unity and Unreal Engine. So, again, it's going to take some these aren't your mama's old processors kind of thing.
Yeah, no, there's clearly a lot of horsepower involved in this. And I know some. I don't know if you've tried this for long, Bradley, but apparently if you make a long Animoji movie, the phone gets noticeably hot in your hand as it does it. There's a lot of work being done to not just to do this at all, but to get it all happening in real time at high frame rates is pretty challenging stuff.
So why are we discussing this? I guess is one of why you're asking. I just did a roundup of AR apps for the Suite Setup at suitesetup.com, and we'll put a link to that in the show notes. But I think there, I think there's an aspect of where I can see this possibly working in schools. Now, I'm going to be honest. When I was reviewing a lot of these apps and looking at them, it all felt very gimmicky. And as I mentioned, it felt like the early days of the watch apps or, honestly, iPhone games. I don't think developers have a great sense of what's good or what's not or what works well. And a lot of the games I tried, honestly, were made worse by AR. It limits where you can play them, number one. Lighting is often an issue. So if I'm, like, sitting around, you know, playing a game late at night, like, it doesn't work well because of bad lighting. Honestly, most of them, it didn't add anything of value. Like, it was just like an add-on to AR. It was like AR to do AR.
It's like, here's the game world, and your sofa's in the background as well. Like, what? You know, I think there's... You're absolutely right. I think there's... There's more to be discovered with AR yet, and I think one of the things I've always been curious about, I haven't really done very much with AR, but like you're using your hands to hold the device, right? Particularly, imagine you had like a big iPad Pro. How do you reach the middle of the screen if you need two hands to hold the device, you know? I mean, I guess most people will be doing it on phones, but even so, it sort of limits your range of action in the game as well.
So let's talk about like design commerce. I think this will be a good place for it. As I mentioned, IKEA is a good example, and there's one called like Halza, maybe is how you pronounce it.
Okay.
This like so before I worked in education, I worked at a telco. It was in Ringgold, Georgia, and they were like the second IPTV provider in the country. So they were actually taking over like their DSL network and pumping out TV on it. So it was like true internet protocol TV back in 2005.
Okay.
And that, and we always struggle with like coming up with like, why does IPTV matter to customers? And at the time it didn't. And it honestly, it eventually never did. It just, it was, you couldn't, there was no growth there because the big players were still traditional like RF. And, but the example we would always say is like a future thing is like you see something, you can buy it. You see someone's shoes on a TV show, you can buy them. You can point a camera at something and buy it. You can touch something and then you buy it. And obviously, like this has come, you know, Instagram ads, there's they have that or, you know, but you can see like imagine you could point like you're at a restaurant, you see someone's shoes, you point an app at their shoes and you can buy them right there. Like that could be a thing. That could be a good example of how this might work.
Yeah. Although the Amazon app can sort of already do that in a way, can't it? You know, without necessarily being AR, you can still use an image recognition technology to scope that out and then just hit the buy button, you know? So there's definitely a machine learning component in there, but I don't know how much does AR add. I mean, I suppose what you're looking at there is, can I lift shoes off of somebody or a model in the shop? And then can I see them on my own feet? You know, like foot detection in AR as well as face detection. I don't know.
Well, and then obviously the big thing we mentioned is like furniture placement. My wife often buys chairs, brings them home. They don't work. Or lamps and brings them home. They don't work. And then returns them. This could negate that. And you can say like, oh, I love that lamp from that TV show. Let me try it in my house and then buy it.
Yeah.
Another area I could see this being big is in construction. Like remodeling, you could build floor plans and you can like visualize the end result. Like you could, I don't know, like have an iPad and walk through your house that's under construction and see how it's going to lay out and move a door and see how you like it and see how it works in practicality.
Yep. I think some of that has a lot of potential. You know, what would it look like if there was a door on this wall, for example, or if there was a set of stairs go up here or something like that? Maybe not. It's not something everybody's going to hit every day, but it's, you know, it has potential to, for people who struggle to look at, you know, a two-dimensional thing and imagine it in three dimensions, and some people do find that difficult, being able to, you know, visualize it that way might be quite interesting. Although, again, I kind of question, like, how much more powerful is that than just rendering a 3D model on a computer and looking at that?
You know, I agree.
Because we've had that, and apparently in education, we've had that since, I don't know, like 2012 or 2013, when those first kind of medical apps came out for iPad, where they had incredibly detailed 3D models of the body rendered on the iPad that you could pinch and zoom and twist and spin. What does AR do for you beyond that? That's my key question.
Before we move on, let's thank our sponsor for tonight. Jamf Pro and Jamf Pro 10 is the best solution for deploying, managing, and securing Apple devices in your classroom. Over 3 million students are empowered by Jamf every day. It can bring learning to a whole new level for students and for your teachers by providing the tools they need to be successful in today's classroom. Start a free trial of Jamf at jamf.com. Again, that's jamf.com, jamf.com. Thanks to Jamf for sponsoring Out of School this week. So let's talk about like education. So we can hit on that. One place I'm gonna say air quotes, I can see AR being a killer is for great education apps. And again, this could all never materialize. So I'm just thinking best case scenario in the future because this is not today. Outdoor classrooms. Imagine being able to go to like a Civil War battlefield. Mm-hmm. And like walk around with an iPad and kind of see it reenactment in place as you walk.
Yep. I think there are a lot of cases where what you might call a content app could make powerful use of this, you know. And I mean, to a certain extent, Bradley, we have sort of had these features before. If you think about, there's an app called Starwalk where the big thing was you could like hold your iPad up to the sky and it would show you where the constellations would be when it was dark. What you're kind of getting with AR is you're getting that at a smaller scale and much, much, much more precision with AR kit and with the better cameras and the new hardware and so on. But I think it's going to be more for content apps. And I think one of my things is always the difficulty of a teacher making content for AR is going to be something that needs to be addressed, you know, because we've been through this with VR before as well. Like VR is great. You can like go and buy a VR app or a VR package, or VR files you used to buy, and use them in your classroom, but you can only use it for the thing you've got VR for. But then if you wanted to go beyond that or do something different, you then don't have the capability to write in that medium as well as read in it. And I think that's my question for AR is, can we make something that makes it as easy for teachers to make AR content as to make, say, a keynote, right, or a PowerPoint, right? So you think PowerPoint won education because every teacher can make a PowerPoint. Good or bad? Better or worse, true, but every teacher can make it. Every teacher can write as well as teach with that medium. And I think the thing for AR is going to be getting across that hump as well.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we're going to be able to rely on just the big publishers to do things. It's going to need to be like a micro scale. Like there's an app I tried that does the solar system, and like you can kind of put it, you can kind of like, I don't know, like walk around the solar system, but I don't feel like it added anything. Like you could, I mean, if AR wasn't there, you could still just like pinch and zoom around it. You know what I mean? Like the Starfall app you mentioned, they have they've added AR. I don't know what's different. I don't understand what was different.
Your sofa's
this is where like, yeah, this was where honestly I think like a 27 inch iPad like could be useful. Like again, I'm not saying like totally useful. I'm saying like, I'm just like kind of thinking outside the box. Like this might be useful for something like that.
I mean, I'm thinking back, Bradley, to things that I studied when I was at university. And one of the things was there was a kind of trend at one point for a thing called tangible user interfaces, where I remember there was one particular kind of research model called ERP, which was a tool for urban planning. And what it was, I think it was out of MIT. And what they did was they had a camera that looked down on a table. And you had little models of buildings and cars and streets and things like that. And if you put down, say, like there was like a strip that looked like a road. If you put down a road, what would happen is that the software would project cars moving onto that road and it would generate traffic. And you could place a building and you could see how the airflow would move if you placed that building there. And you could move the block, like rotate the building 45 degrees and see how that changed the reflections as the time went through and how it changed the airflow and things like that. And I'm kind of interested in that. And what you say about like a really large iPad, for example, you know, imagine that it was on some kind of stand or bracket and you could look through this window, if you like, and see how what you're doing on the desk, see that kind of blended together with, I don't know, real-time renderings of traffic or airflow or weather or sunlight or something like that. And you could use that to build a model, build a town or something like that. I would be interested in AR more if it was less, I've got to hold the camera and look around this fake world. And more, the camera could sort of stand there and watch me do something and then enhance that with much more, you know, dynamically computed information and things like that as well. So to me, that's a very interesting potential thing that we could do in education. But I think that's one of those things that, you know, in some ways people have to go back to the research. And I mean, you're talking more than 20 years ago that was done. And looking into that as something that could be done in the future, I think could be really interesting.
Oh, that's a great example. I agree. Yeah. So what else? I think 3D design classes, woodworking, like metal classes. Mm-hmm. Again, these are all like possibilities. I'm not saying, number one, they make it better or they make, like, does the use of AR dramatically make it better? But well, I'm saying these are kind of examples.
I mean, my feeling, Bradley, is that AR is an interesting idea for which any of our current mobile devices are completely the wrong device. You know, because it, for me, for AR to be like really impactful, it has to be hands-free. So that your hands are free to do something in the AR world rather than you have to tie up your hands holding the AR lens. And I think the obvious place this goes is the so-called AR glasses that Apple has constantly been rumored to be building. And of course, we've had VR headsets and things for some time now. And I think really, if we want to get that working in education, we need to look at the possibility of something like that coming out, because holding up an iPad and then also trying to do something, because if you think about it, if you pair students in the class and one kid's holding the AR portal in the shape of an iPad and somebody else is around the other side of the iPad working on something on the desk, only one of the two people is getting the effect of the AR. Do you see what I mean? Maybe it's all just an experiment.
Well, and then imagine that students had like AR glasses on or VR glasses and they were interacting in the same world and could do things that affected the other one.
This is where it starts to get interesting, I think, doesn't it?
It's like Second Life. And
yeah.
But you can imagine like some sort of like, I don't know, like let's build a car or let's repair a car, and you could actually get down there and do it, and what you were doing was affecting someone else. And so, I don't know. I mean, again,
yeah.
It feels like a lot of stuff we've done before and we've kind of had apps for, but I think you are 100% right, is it's got to move past like holding up your phone to see something.
Yeah. I mean, what if you could just have something as simple as like AR mathematics, right? Where you could just be looking at a calculation that's written on paper and you could see an overlay that helped you understand where those numbers came from. You know, I mean, could it be that? I mean, is that a more interesting thing than looking at the solar system spinning on your desk in school or something like that? You know, is that a more practical, more useful thing to do? Or, you know, you're programming a robot, you can see in your AR glasses the path that the robot's meant to take and you've got to write the code to make it happen. Or simulations of something before you actually run the code, things like that. You know, you can look at your Sphero robot and your AR glasses show you where the code would take that robot if you ran it. Something like that. I don't know. But I agree with you. It's got to get past holding up a 10-inch slab of glass in front of your face, because we need our hands to actually work with.
Yeah. So those are kind of my ideas, and I hope this has kind of been thought-provoking to you that are listening, and we'd love to hear any kind of ideas you have for this, because, again, this is, you know, AR Kit is brand new with iOS 11, and it may be iOS 15 before.
Nobody knows what to do with it, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Again, it's if you think about how long it's taken us to get iPhone apps to where they are, you know, even iPad apps to where they are today. Mm-hmm. We started back in 2008 with iPhone OS 2, and so, you know, it may take that many years.
I saw one thing that I thought was really cool with ARKit just the other day going by on Twitter, which was I can't remember which is one of the apps that shows you like where live planes are flying in the world. And what they did was that they took, like, if you imagine a section of Google Earth the size of your coffee table, right? And you could zoom in, right? But the planes would fly, they were like flying in 3D space above the table. So you could sort of almost be standing in the airspace of an airport and you could see the planes kind of flying past you as they went in and out of the airport. I thought that was really cool. But I also thought, well, maybe that'd be cool for 20 minutes of fun. I don't know. But that was the first thing I saw that I thought, okay, I can see how this might start to move past and start to make realistic looking and useful things to go along with the capabilities that we've got, but we're still not clear on what we want to do with it.
Yeah, but you've got to build the tools before you get to where you're going to go.
Absolutely. I mean, it's like iPad deployment in school, right? Too many of these things fail because people demand a fully worked out explanation for how people are going to use this device before they've ever used the device. And although I'm coming across a little bit negative on AR, I think unless you have something like ARKit first and, you know, broadly deployed devices with incredibly high quality sensors to try stuff out on and see what works and what doesn't, and not everything is going to work, we're never going to get to a world in which we've got, you know, the really great AR apps and, in some ways, I suppose, the really great AR glasses that we probably need as well to make it feel right too. We've got to start somewhere.
That's true. Got to get started, and then that hopefully can spur upon development. And again, a lot of the things on the market today are just concepts, I would argue.
But I'd like to hear from listeners, you know, if you've seen really great AR apps, even just for interest, but also if you know of stuff that is interesting for school as well, I'd love to hear it.
Yep. So we'll kind of wrap up there this week. I think next show we should do our annual Christmas gift list.
Okay.
Because that'll be right around 1st of December.
I will get my list together of the current battery capacities of all iOS devices. It seems to me like my Christmas tradition is here are the current battery capacities for buying external battery packs. But still important, right? You know,
it absolutely is.
And I think one of the cool things that you're seeing more of now is those battery packs. They've got a wee saddle for the Apple Watch to go like built right on the battery pack. There's one or two of them. I think I'll dig one of them up and see what's the current state of play with those two.
But and if you've got any cool AR examples, get in touch with us at outofschool.net. You mm-hmm. can rate us on Apple Podcast at itunes.com/outofschool. And if you use Overcast, we'd always appreciate the little star button to recommend it to other users as well. But get in touch with me on Twitter at Bradley Chambers.
Okay, and I'm Fraser Spears on Twitter, spears.org on the web.
Have a great week. And if you're in the U.S., have a great Thanksgiving.